From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. More than 5 million South Africans are infected with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Few of these people get anti-AIDS drugs, partly because South African President Thabo Mbeki has refused to develop assistance programs or has broken promises to provide treatment to certain groups, such as pregnant women.
But Mbeki's opposition to AIDS treatment appears to be weakening under political pressure. Earlier this month, his government announced that it would begin developing plans to distribute anti-AIDS drugs as early as next month. That's led AIDS activists in South Africa to suspend demonstrations and acts of civil disobedience against the government, at least for the time being.
Tonight we have two reports on AIDS drugs, the first from NPR's Brenda Wilson in Johannesburg. She reports that the government has said little about how it will find the billions of dollars needed to provide treatment, but activists are hopeful that the government will follow through this time.
In Johannesburg's chilly spring, campus life is grinding to a halt, the break that comes after exams. A season of protest would seem in order, but South Africa's AIDS Treatment Action Campaign is using the moment to mobilize future support and prepare people for treatment under a plan the South African government says could cost as much as 21 billion rand, some $3 billion, by the year 2010. Up to 500 students crowd into a lecture hall at Witwatersrand University for a panel on living with HIV and AIDS. Part of the draw is a celebrity, radio DJ Kabzela. Until AIDS made it impossible for him to work, he was one of the most popular DJs in Johannesburg.
It's been a while I haven't been behind the microphone. I want to dare you guys. Be brave and raise your hand if you're HIV positive. Don't be embarrassed because you will die. My neighbors, my friends, they collapsed in front of me and they died.
The point was lost on all but five hardcore members of the Treatment Action Campaign. AIDS activists seated in a back row. They raised their hands. So for Mark Haywood, tax treasurer, politics must include prevention.
Comrade Kabzela asked how many people in this room have HIV. The real question to ask is how many people in this room have sex. Are you shy? I won't force you to answer that question. But that's the real question. Because if you have sex, you are placing yourself at risk of HIV infection if you have sex that is unsafe, that is unprotected sex.
And part of prevention is educating people that HIV can be managed. So Tax Paula Ramatwala explains that he has been living with HIV since he was a senior in college.
I'm not on antivirals, and I've had HIV for about 5 years now. But the main thing that we need to understand is that I'm not going to be like this. I'm not going to be like this forever. There's going to be a time where I get sick, and there's going to be a time where I need a stronger medication. And the only best medication that I know of now is antiretrovirals.
People with HIV in South Africa won't be eligible for anti-AIDS drugs under the government's new plan until they have reached that stage where their immune systems are clearly impaired and they have developed AIDS. But for every promise the government has made, it has also balked or taken tentative steps. For example, offering limited treatment under pilot studies, as in the case of nevirapine, to prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV. Frustrated by the government's failure to act, Zaki Ahmed, TAC's key spokesperson, reversed an earlier decision not to begin treatment for his own infection until treatment was available to all people in South Africa who need it. Today, the students were disappointed that Ahmed couldn't come. Haywood explained that he was ill.
Now for Zaki, Zaki's current CD4 count, which is the measure of your immune system, shows that he has AIDS. Clinically, it's in the region of just over 200. That's the time when you are meant to take antiretroviral medicines. And that is why he is ill at times. Zaki has taken a decision, and he will be beginning antiretroviral treatment very soon.
The government relented on the question of access to antiretrovirals 2 weeks ago, according to some reports because of pressure from the ruling party, the African National Congress. It has now appointed an implementation team to wrestle with pricing arrangements and delivery systems with the help of President Clinton's foundation's International AIDS Initiative. So TAC is accepting on good faith the government's promise. But Graham Bailey, speaking for one of the government's main political opponents, cautioned the activists and students that South African President Thabo Mbeki is simply getting the ruling party's troops in line for next year's general elections.
The electorate could do no better than not voting for the ANC next year.
The speech had been lengthy and attests not only of the students' patience, but its ultimate loyalty to the African National Congress, which is supported by the overwhelming majority of people in South Africa. They hooted him down. TAC may mobilize against government policies, Haywood explains, but it wouldn't make sense to oppose the government itself.
Between April and early August of this year, we had 100 TAC volunteers who we know who died of AIDS-related illnesses. And people said, you must measure government against the lives of those people. If you can't suspend people's deaths, then you can't suspend actions. But I wouldn't advocate anybody to vote for a different political party, because at the end of the day, the ANC is going to come back into power, and we've got to make sure that the ANC does what is necessary in terms of confronting this epidemic.
A day after the session at Witwatersrand, AIDS activists were again disappointed when the government released the names of the task force that will design the implementation plan. It included no known AIDS activists, and only one AIDS expert who has been involved in the push for treatment. The government released a series of statements, but turned down repeated requests for an interview to explain the change in policy. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Johannesburg.